Okay, 26 people to whom you should not teach a Dharma. Okay, you ready? This is old school, right? This is Vinaya. Someone who is standing, number one. Somebody who's lying down. Somebody who's seated higher than you. Someone who is walking in front of you. Maybe it hurts their neck, I don't know. Lamgi damne lam usa dola chuchhepa. To teach, if you're traveling with a group of disciples on a path in a group, the teacher shouldn't be on the right or the left and talk inwards. They should be in the middle and talking outwards, okay? Does that make sense? Okay? If there's like five students walking in a group, then the teacher should be in the middle. If they're talking while they're walking, okay. Gola sok yokpa. Gola sok yokpa means wearing something on their head like a shawl or a hat also, okay. Shouldn't teach to someone wearing anything on their head. It's okay, it's your custom and your, okay, that's right. Then could zebola means somebody's dressed up really fancy, like out of place, you know. Good trapanila sarva means how do you say? We have a monk shawl, right? Then technically, you're supposed to leave your right shoulder free, okay? I don't know. Then when you request a teaching as a monk, you're supposed to drop the shawl and ask. You see, like that. So if it's cold, some monks will go like this, you see. And then that's improper to teach them that way. They have to drop the right shoulder. Okay. Like last night, it was pretty cold. But we had to do it. All right. Larpa ni nyar gon to nulwa. Like this is this, right? Okay. Fingers behind there. Shouldn't listen like that. That's behind the neck, right? And then the next one is behind the head. Okay? This is Vinaya, okay? It gets a little anal. All right. Tai torcho chepa. Someone who has tied their hair up into a... This is an old custom. It was a warrior's custom. It was improper because it was a warrior's thing. They were like... It'd be if they wore a helmet to class or something. Okay? Tarki chupen chingwa. Then this is a kind of silk. It's a silk. What do you call it?
Turban.
Yeah, like a silk turban. Okay. Shark yumba means a normal kind of hat. Tuti chingba means a, what do you call it? Jimi Hendrix headband. Okay. And they all had meanings in those times. I don't know what they were. They all had connotations. I know that to wear this tied here meant you were ready to go to war and it wasn't inappropriate in a class or something like that, okay? I don't know what it would be nowadays. Method Tramwa Thapala. Somebody wearing a mala, a string of flowers, okay? Because that was a show of honor that was paid to the teacher. Okay? Something like that. Langbo, somebody sitting on an elephant. That's a long story. Elephants used to be a big deal. They used to be important for the defense of the country. An elephant with armor properly worn is almost unstoppable by a group of people who's been trained to maul people. So, anyway, Tha means to sitting on a horse. Dele shimba shimba shimba, riding anything else. Kyok means a, what do you call it, a sedan chair? Could four guys carry the chair? like palanquin. Okay. Sam Kimbala, someone who's still wearing their shoes. Somebody with their shoes on. Which in the old days was very disrespectful. Okay. Lakna Karwa, somebody has a staff in their hands. Holding a staff. They should set the staff down and take the teaching. Okay. They should set the staff at the door. It's like wearing a pistol into a saloon or something. Okay. Duke means an umbrella. Somebody has a parasol in the class. Tsunja means another kind of weapon, except a sword, because, well, a couple weapons come later. Okay. Tsunja means any kind of like a knife. Okay. A knife for fighting, like a switchblade. Realty means a sword, somebody wearing a sword. When Pabongka Rinpoche got to this part in the teaching, there's an oral tradition that there was the minister of war of Tibet was in the audience. You know, the secretary of defense was in the audience. And he came up afterwards and he put his sword on the altar and he offered it. And then later he said he resigned after the teaching. Okay, it was very beautiful. Okay. Drata topa. Drata means a battle axe. Okay, battle axe. We're probably up close to 25, right? Okay, Kukyumbala. Kukyumbala. There's a mistake in the text, but anyway, I corrected it. It means somebody wearing armor, somebody wearing any kind of armor, body armor. So those are the ancient ones, the traditional ones. So that completes the instruction for teachers, really, okay? And you could go off on that, you could do it for a couple of weeks, right? But that's the basic instruction for teachers and etiquette protocol for a teaching. And I think it's really important that you pass it on to your students. I don't think the elephant one is so important, but you know, the one about not teaching, what do you say, examining your own heart to see if you have jealousy before you teach about jealousy or something like that. That's very important, right? That kind of thing. Okay, then there's a third category, which is called, there were things the student had to do, and then there were things the teacher had to do, and now we're on to things that they both should do together. Relating to a formal teaching, okay. Gonge Sache Sumba, Juk to Tumondu Jita Jawani, what should the teacher and student do together at the conclusion of the teaching? Tangraki Mandal Ge, Tangraki Mandal, okay, say Tangra Ki Mandal. So this is a mandala, right? In fact, the word mundane comes from the same root, mundane and uno mundo. And manda means world. Mandala means a sacred world. Okay, the root means to a world. Okay, then you should offer a second mandala. You should offer the world again. Okay, that's the first one was to request the teaching. If you don't offer the mandala in a Tibetan context, the teacher doesn't know if you want the teaching, and then they're not supposed to teach. So they're supposed to wait until you do the mandala. And then they know you are requesting the teaching with the mandala. So then it's okay to teach you. The mandala at the end is tangrak. Tangrak means thanksgiving. It means an expression of thanksgiving. Okay. There should be a tangrak mandala at the end. And I think it's very beautiful and important to imagine that the world you are offering after the class has been made perfect. It's a what do you call it? Perfect world. A perfect world. And that's the vision of bodhicitta, right? There's this big word, bodhicitta. I call it mangle translated. Mangle translation. Anyway, really bad translations of that one. But what it means is if I sit in this teaching, and I learn how to get a boyfriend, right? Or $1 million, or whatever you want. Cure the ill, cure the sick. then if I'm successful as an example, then other people will copy me, right? Anytime you make anything cool, people will copy you. Like, wait until you see how many spring-loaded solar turners are around in a year, you know? Like, people will hear, and then they'll, oh, that's cool, and then they'll, okay? So, in this field of, you know, human activity, if you succeed as a Dharma person, right? If you go to the nursing home and get a nice boyfriend, you know, and if you visit the sick, and then suddenly your yoga is twice as good, then people will copy you. People will copy you, and then it will spread, and then slowly we will live in a world where people believe that the way to make money is to help others make money, or the way to have enough energy for your country is to assure that poorer countries have enough energy. You see what I mean? And that's the only way you will have enough energy for your country. So it has to be national also. So imagine that. Imagine the repercussions of that if that spreads. And if all the governments believe that the only way to assure their energy needs of their country would be to serve the energy needs of a poorer country, then try to imagine what the world would be like if the leaders of the countries held that view of the way things work, okay? And then you offered that, you see? At the end, you're offering a fixed world. See, I mean, a repaired world where all the governments are competing to serve the poor and like that, okay? All right. Mandalki jutu chunyen shepe sheje chunyen shepe getsanam ringbe masoki gone temba kepe gida. Then you made a certain karma by being together, especially for a week or 10 days, by being together for a concentrated purpose, which is ultimately to make the world happy, right? We want to contribute to making the world happy, and that's why we got together here in this little Boy Scout camp out in the middle of the forest, right? We want to make people happy. Then we made good karma. We made a lot of good karma. This week you made a lot of good karma. Then they say you should bank it. You know, you should put it in a safe place. Why? The first time you get seriously angry at somebody else, that has the anger has the special capacity to destroy good seeds. If the seeds are not protected, the seeds that you made here, the seeds that you planted here, if they're not protected, then the first time you get really angry, you'll burn them. Okay, they will burn in the subconscious. They burn. Okay. So it's good to bank them. What does it mean, bank them? Offer them mentally to some higher purpose, okay? This week I worked hard, you know, I did everything they wanted me to do, I meditated hard, my butt's sore, my knees are sore, my back is sore, they beat me up in yoga every day, you know? I got the 14 nisses and the 18 dats, and, you know, I sat through the whole thing. I froze out at the fire. You're going to tell people you froze at the fire offering. You're never going to go. Anyway, and then all that good karma, you have to send it somewhere, away from where your anger can't touch it, you see? So he suggests here you could send that good karma to praying that these ideas spread in the world. Okay. Does it mean we want everybody to bow down when we walk in a room, or you know, everybody has to wear a red suit? Or it doesn't mean that. What we're praying for is that, you know, people around the world come to think. It becomes a commonly held opinion that if you want money, you have to give it, and that if you want to be healthy, you have to serve the ill. And that if you want not to be lonely, you have to find lonely people and serve them. That viewpoint, we would dedicate the karma of this week to that viewpoint slowly spreading around the world. Okay. Then he mentions a text called Ringbema. Ringbema is a small text by Jetsun Kapa where it's the name of it means I tried for a long time. The name of the book is I Tried for a Long Time. Okay. Ringbema. And it's a prayer about may the teachings stay in the world. Okay, like that. Ringbema. But what I mean to say is when I say teachings stay in the world, I mean that viewpoint, right? A lot of viewpoints of Western society are Christian or Jewish. You see, a lot of our viewpoints, a lot of our systems are actually an outgrowth from religious viewpoints. The code of law is an outgrowth from the Jewish Ten Commandments, right? And it has allowed the civilization to grow because it's a good code. And it prevents people from hurting each other. And then a lot of the ideas have come through the Christian tradition. So you don't realize it, but a lot of what you live by is either Jewish or Christian, right? A lot of your laws of your countries in the West, and that's why there's such collisions when you try to impose them on Muslim people or you impose them on Chinese people. They didn't grow up with that. Those underlying beliefs. They grew up with other underlying beliefs, which are probably also good. They're just different. And so what you're praying for, what I would pray for is not so much that Buddhism becomes a world religion and, you know, the Dalai Lama becomes king of the world. You know, it's not like that. It should be that the viewpoint that the way the place that the place where things come from is from serving other people. Things come from your mind, from seeds put there by serving other people. Then our hope, what I would pray for, is that that viewpoint becomes so much a part of our global civilization that people don't notice it anymore. It's just the way it is. You know, people say General Motors profits for the quarter dip. So the board gets together and says, we have to give more cars to poor people in Africa. And it's their naturally held opinion on how to solve their lower stock price this quarter. You know, we got to send more cars to Africa fast. You know, the stock price is dropping. I really like how your boyfriend looks, so I'm going to leave him alone so I can get a better one. You see what I mean? Like that. If that were the commonly held viewpoint of how things work, then there would be peace in the world. And then as we have forgotten that many of our laws are based on the teachings of Judaism and Christianity thousands of years ago, I'm hoping for a day where they just forget where it came from. And people just live by that way of life. You see, whatever I want, I will have to give to someone else, and like that. Okay. Gyebi gyunit dzogchang gi gyur ngorze. You can also dedicate it to your own enlightenment. What does enlightenment mean? I mean, briefly. That's a long story, but that you could slowly gain enough karma that you would perceive yourself serving an entire world in the way that great religious figures have in the past, you know, like that. I would like to. We're going to give away cities later today, okay? But in this prayer, you would say give away planets. You know, who's covering Earth? You know, Nick's got it covered, okay? And then. All right, well, then I'll work in another galaxy. You know what I mean? Like that, okay? Like that. Think like that, okay? Dedicate it to the day when they will give you your planet. Say, okay, here's your planet. Or is this, you know, take good care of it, okay? Everyone complains about God, but what if you were God? You know, would you mess up probably? Okay. All right. Then we give you Gita. Dzogchen Gyengorin Gorinze. Dwe Tse Deb Urmi Chepar Lama Dan Chula Tengshin Du Rimgi Rimgi. Dwe La Chalan. This is funny. In the monastery, these teachings go on 10, 12 hours, you know. And it's really painful to sit through the whole thing. In our monastery, if there's a big crowd, we have to sit on the ankles of the person behind us. It's that close, you know. And it's hot. It's India. And you're sitting on the... And his ankles are being sat on. And the teaching's going for like 10 hours. And then... at the end, they do this 1,000 prayers, and everybody's suffering through the prayers, you know. And then they say, okay, you can go. And then there's this huge burst of people running out the door to go to the bathroom. And, you know, some temples in India, there's a... Well, that's another story. Sometimes you don't have time to get to a bathroom. So he says, when the class lets out, don't everybody rush for the door, okay? Like, leave the teaching as if you're leaving your high school girlfriend at 12 o'clock, you know, and her dad's waiting at the door, and you're like, you know, you just whisper one more thing in her ear, and then you start to go in and say, oh, and also, honey, you know, and then you should be like not quite willing to leave, okay? And there shouldn't be a big rush for the door, he says. Okay. Then leave in a dignified manner, you know. Some people leave. Few hang around, and then those people leave, and then it just kind of trickles out and comes down slowly. Okay, all right. We've reached day 4 of the original teaching. Okay, now we're starting day 4. All right. Everything I taught in Phoenix for the last 10 days and these 10 days, he taught in one day. Okay. So now we're on day 4. The whole teaching, I think, is 24 days, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Okay. Then Tejan Rinpoche, who is second from the left, who edited this text and also trained this Dalai Lama and trained my teacher. And next to him is Babong Rinpoche, right, on the left. Okay, the last photo on the left is Pabo Grimbache, who wrote the text, who spoke the text. So Trijan Rinpoche recorded the comments that the teacher made before the teaching. Before he started teaching, he made some comments to the crowd, right? Nyin Shipa, on the fourth day. Pelden Dawa Tarpe, which means Chandakirti, said, Indian, an ancient Indian, emptiness master, right? Kansai Rangman Jukching Tunyul Tunepa Kelte Dir Dagsin Kelte Dir Dangsin Parmichena Yangsar Lungwe Shenwan Jukyurwa Dele Chine Kangi Longwar Gyur She Sumbatar Rangchaknam, those people like you and me, Mikombe Nele Tarde. We have been able to take a birth in a place, in a situation where we are able to practice, right? In the short view of things, this country enjoys an unprecedented amount of religious freedom. Like, you can go, you know, to any country in the world, almost any country in the world, and the amount of freedom here to practice what you want to practice. In history, there's never been something like this, okay? And it's just extremely rare. We are very lucky to have been born. Traveling overseas, I went when I was 20, right? And I lived in India and in other countries, and it makes a big patriot out of you, you know? Because you come home you could go to New York and hear 16 languages on the street and nobody's burning anybody's house or not much, okay? Or, you know, killing somebody because they don't believe in this God number A instead of God number B, or, you know, that's extremely rare in the world, okay? And the freedom to not be looking out the windows and worrying if the police are coming. We teach in some countries like that, where everyone's nervous, and I have to edit my sentences as on the fly, I have to say, then there's a quotation by a very nice person, and you know, and it's very, it makes you feel really bad inside not to be able to say what you want to say, you know. And we grew up, no one telling us we couldn't say anything, right? So we're very fortunate to live in, we're fortunate to be able to practice in those circumstances, right? You don't live in a country where you have to be careful what you put on your altar in case the police come. Okay, that's like very unusual. Okay, we've been freed from those conditions. We possess a body and mind which are extraordinarily fit for enlightenment, to study how to get to enlightenment. We have a good basic education. We have sharp minds, and we have healthy bodies mostly. Okay. We are free to do whatever practices we want. If with these kinds of circumstances we don't achieve our highest dreams, who knows where we go after we die? We don't know. Okay? We don't know. And we talked about it the other day, right? We were talking about, you got a pen? I got an extra pen. Oh wait, I got one. We were talking about the pen, just very briefly, right? A dog sees it as a chew toy. A human sees it as a pen, right? If you think about it, when there's a dog in the room focusing on a pen, and there's a human in the room focusing on the same pen, then there's two realities running in parallel in that room. If you think about it, the physicists are right? The guy after 18 or 19, I don't know what it is. There are two realities running in the room at the same time. So to die and go to a different place is no more than to switch from one layer of reality to another layer. And there are countless layers there right now. You know, you could be experiencing this room as, if you were autistic, right? Then you would experience it as people screaming or just bright lights that are overwhelming you. You know what I mean? So you're at a certain tiny sliver of the whole spectrum of experience, and it's foolish to say that after you die, lots of karmas wear out at the same time, and then your perception of the same objects changes radically, and that's a rebirth. It's not that you die and they take your soul out and then they look around for a bug's body and they try to stuff it in there. Okay? It's not like that. It's more dangerous than that. You just slide to a different level of reality. And people do it all the time. People with Alzheimer's, they're in the same house that they lived in for 30 years, and then suddenly it's a dangerous place. And it can kill them. And it's just that their mind slid just slightly, right? So it's possible. We don't know when that slide will happen with us. So you gotta grab the chance while you got it, right? You get irritated that we have to meditate an extra 15 minutes, but there will come a day when you will die to have a chance to meditate for 15 minutes, because you won't be able to. Your back will hurt too much, or you know, you complain about the yoga class, but it's too tough. But there'll be a day when you can't get out of bed to do a yoga class. So enjoy it while you have it. You know, have a good time while you have it. All right. And then you lose your freedom, you see? Events overtake you. Events call the shots, right? There was a disciple of the Buddha called Udayana, right? He told the teacher, I would like to go to a different city. I would like to do something in a different city. And the Buddha saw that he would have suffering in that city, but he also saw that if he said anything, the person wouldn't believe him, or it wouldn't change their opinion. So he said, go, do what you have to do, you know. And then the scripture calls it, and then he was herded by his karma to the next city. You see what I mean? The karma forced the disciple to the next city, and he was murdered in the next city, right? Chuki Leki Deba means like a sheep herder. What do you call it? they forced the sheep in front of them, right? Drive the sheep. Then driven by your karma, right? Shenwang means you don't have a choice. It's not up to you anymore. The karma is forcing you to a certain really bad situations. And we don't have that right now. We can make decisions. We can decide to practice. We can decide to teach. We can do other beautiful things. But that doesn't last forever. And then karma starts pushing you to something you don't want to do. Okay. Shenwang Tukyur. Chukyi Dratsam Yang Tupi Kawa Mepi Neso Lungna. There are places in the world and in the universe. I think of Mongolia. Well, I studied Mongolian. I lived with Mongolians for years, many years. And then I was interested to study Mongolian history because I was living with Mongolians. And then I thought, I studied something about Genghis Khan. Okay, Genghis Khan's father, the reason Genghis Khan got so tough was that his family was invited to their neighbor's house and their family poisoned their family. Okay, the neighbor poisoned his father at dinner, with dinner. Okay, invited him to dinner and then poisoned him to death so that they could just walk across the street and steal all their stuff. You know, and then Genghis Khan and his mother, Genghis Khan was a little kid and his mother and he escaped to the mountains. And he lived like an animal for like 10 years in the mountains, just living off of berries and roots and killing animals with his teeth. And you know, that's what made him tough. You know, and then in those days, in the Mongolian society at that time, that was normal. Okay, that was normal behavior. If you can invite your neighbor to dinner, poison them, and then you can walk across the street and get their television, you know, like that. It was just like there are places in history and there are places in this world where the idea of morality is completely gone. It's completely gone. I was in Russia when it first fell, the Soviet Union, and we were working on a project to save Tibetan books there. And I was sitting in the St. Petersburg airport, and this guy sat down next to me, gave me his business card. You know, and it didn't have the name of his business on it. You know, and I said, well, he says, well, give me a call if you need it. You know, and I'm like, what do you do? And he says, oh, I didn't tell you? And I said, no, it's not on your card. He says, well, of course it's not on my card. He says, I kill people. And he says, $75. Just give me the address, give me the name, I'll take care of it. You know, anybody you want, $75. I'm like, you know, like, okay, I'll be in touch, you know. And, you know, and it's just no moral sense. And there are places like that. We are in a very weird moral pocket, you know. It's very cool in some ways. Except for the idea that you should go and kill other people in their country. But anyway, which is also kind of weird. Chichepin Ramwan Yibbe Kabdir Slaasung Kibbata Nisa Nyansong Dele Longbe Top Samyang Suche. It's also extremely difficult to get out of a situation like that. Once you're in a country, once you're born in a country, or once you live in a country where there's no moral fabric, it's hard to pull yourself out. Because everybody's doing it, you know? Like, we were in Ukraine and we were trying to talk people out of bribing people. And because everyone depends on bribes, they don't know who's gonna start first. Who should start not bribing, you know? And then it's like, everyone's confused. Then they say, just let us keep bribing each other, it's okay. You know, like, there's no way to pull yourself out of it because everybody's doing it, okay? Right now you have power to do what you want. So work towards high goals. Pick high goals in your life and work towards them because you have the freedom. You have financial freedom. You have political freedom, okay? And it may not last, you know. Every empire that ever existed thought it was going to go on forever. People were sitting in Rome the day it fell and thinking, What's playing at the stadium tonight? What lions are going to eat which gladiators today? And that's all they were worried about. And then their city fell that night, and they're all killed. And the city was destroyed. And it happens generation after generation. It happens all the time. And, you know, America is not some thing is going to last forever. And somebody could walk in, and you would be, you'd say, I want to go to a 10-day retreat. And they'd say, okay, well, we have a special prison for people who want to go to 10-day retreats. And you can break extra rocks there, you know. And it could happen. It happens. Use the time while you have it. Use the situation while you have it. Saying of Topaja. Gain some high goal. De chedu chanchu langirimichi nyendu nyamsalambi nyambe kunlong seltap de sembashu. Please, Pabongkamiche is saying, please, I ask you. And he uses the honorific for his audience, which is very Pabongkamiche. He got in trouble in his lifetime. He taught the common people. It was unheard of. He invited common people to his teachings. And he used the honorific to them. You know, he used the high language to the common people. And it freaked out a lot of people. They tried to kill him in his lifetime. Okay? Like that. So anyway, he says, while you are here, think, I might not get this chance again. Or this chance is very rare. Let me do something important with this what I've learned. Okay? Tabashu. Kang Sambachawa Chuni. Then what are you learning here? What are we learning here? Kandengi kebu sange ki sardrupa tepa choki. Tepa choki chuluk she sokne sache trambe par ngar tarla. Then he reviewed the outline of the teachings that he had given so far. Kasange shepa namla kyarshe dodu sungne. He repeated and summarized what he had taught the day before in a few minutes' time. Terengi shepala. And then he said, okay, now let's get on to what we're doing today. Let's talk about what we're doing today. Maybe that's a good place to take a break, okay? We're about to start the first major section of the actual Lamrim. Okay? All right? This is the beginning of the Lamrim. We're about to start the Lamrim after, what, a year? Okay? Let's take a break before that. Do you have anything? Make a booklet, and then it's free. Okay, so far I've been able to do it for free. So I think the deal is, if you want a color thing, you pay extra, or you pay something. But otherwise, you just you know, if you have a, I'd really like you to teach. I'd really like you to find somebody today or tomorrow that you can collaborate with. I think collaborations are very sweet. You know, you could do a Mexico City, Sofia collaboration, or you could do a Guadalajara, Eastern Australia collaboration. You know, you could do a Manila, Manila-Singapore collaboration, like that. I mean, you can do fun things, okay? There's lots of people here. So then we're very happy to put your, to advertise your class in here, okay, for free. Just tell us where it is, when it is. So for next time, it'll be, when is it in Phoenix? In will we have this in February? Yeah. Let's do it, yeah. So late February, there'll be a program in Phoenix. That's only a two-day program. So we try to do something at least once a month in Phoenix. Sorry? It's a Friday night and a Saturday night. And all day Saturday, there's lots of programs. I think we're doing we'll do a meditation, we'll do a yoga class, then we'll do a prison training. You can get certified to work in a prison. I think it's an hour and a half training, or 2 hours at the most. And then we'll have another solar energy presentation, okay? And then we'll have a couple of Dharma classes from another text, which is a very cool text. So anyway, if you would like your next project, if you want people to know about it, we can put it in here. Any country, any language, doesn't matter, okay? And we'll do it for free, all right? I just think it's a cool idea. Right, it's kind of what we want to do. Tonight we'll. When do the cities go up? The cities are there. Sorry. Oh, I didn't see that. That's cool. Yeah, so who do they give the paper with the cities on? Can they give it to you? Or? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So tonight you'll get a letter about the DCI thing. You know, you pick three cities that you want, and then we ask you to submit it online, because it's just cleaner for us than to type it for you. So you, there'll be a link online. You can say, I want, you know, I don't know, Austin and Abu Dhabi and Nairobi. Nairobi's already taken, Eden, so no, just, but anyway, you can say, I'm not, it's not taken. It's a I think it's up there. We've been invited there, but we haven't had time to go. So anyway, tonight we'll talk more about that. And you'll get a letter of explanation, and you'll get a link that you can